AAN News Podcast. This is episode 75 for August 3rd, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually good commentary, go to the nonsectarian anarchistnews.org. What's new this week? Call in for Sean Swain from seanswain.org. This recounts Sean's most recent bout of problems with the prison administration, which holds him accountable for things that scare them on the outside. I guess because they can get their hands on him. He's been kept in solitary confinement, and they're not allowing communication in or out. Friends of Sean have provided some contact information and a handy script for those of us who freeze up when speaking to obvious agents of the state. Quote, additionally, the ODRC is threatening to put Sean on Interstate Compact, a system that ships subversive prisoners around the country, places heavy restrictions on communication, and interns them in the black hole of the Interstate Compact system. We're calling for any who feel compelled by Sean's plight to call ODRC Director Gary Moore and demand that Sean's appeal to the current disciplinary hearing be granted and that Sean's security level be lowered, unquote. Also, keep writing letters to anarchist prisoners, including Sean. Care from the outside is the strongest tool prisoners have.
All out for August from CrimeThink. A generalized call out for the month of August in the name of purported increased threats from neo-fascists and their alt-right cover, and in support of the anti-ICE actions that continue. Quote, we're seeing a new wave of activity from the fascist movement that was so soundly beaten in the streets a year ago. On July 28th, the Nazis of Patriot Front carried out a cowardly surprise attack on Occupy ICE in San Antonio. This August, the same fascist groups that terrorized and murdered people last year are preparing to rally around the U.S. again, everywhere from Providence and Washington, D.C. to Portland and Berkeley. Fascists are the street wing of the Trump agenda. We have to shut them down wherever they organize. Above all, we can't let them stop us from standing up to the state, the chief source of authoritarian violence. Unquote. Interesting analysis of the relationship of Trump to fascist groups. But at any rate, rah-rah, sis boomba.
Jobs, bullshit, and the bureaucratization of the world from the mainstream Brooklyn Rail, which says it's critical perspectives on art, politics, and culture, unquote. This book, Bullshit Jobs by David Graeber, has been getting a lot of play in mainstream media, or at least a lot compared to most books by anarchist authors. Graeber seems to have enough of a dangerous edge to be appealing, without having so much that he can't be put on air. Books questioning work that don't go all the way to promoting no work at all would certainly appeal to the vast majority who can't stand their jobs, whether for reasons of uselessness or other things. We can always hope that people realizing how much of what happens in Western civilization is utterly meaningless might mean that they're more willing to consider alternatives, but only on our most optimistic days, probably. Quote, the book's core claim is that in the U.S., the U.K., and other economies in which the financial sector generates more income than all others, including manufacturing, and in which most workers spend their days performing what are confusingly called services, there are an inordinate number of pointless and even pernicious jobs. In these jobs, which Graeber categorizes as information work, people do very little of value, while the jobs themselves exact an enormous spiritual toll on those compelled to perform them and on the shredded social fabric of which these occupations make a larger and larger part. The evidence confirming this feature of the contemporary world of work is ubiquitous and incontrovertible. Bullshit Jobs, however, as a book, has a hard time penetrating the crust of the obvious. Graeber's conceptual schema is imprecise and elusive, and it seems so almost by design. In a first pass at trying to size up these bullshit jobs, quote-unquote, in order to distinguish them from, say, merely shit jobs, Graeber hits upon the idea of positive social value, to which he contrasts mere market value. Market value, the going rate someone will pay for a given good or service, is measurable. Positive social value is not. According to Graeber, the only way to assess the social value is, paradoxically, to rely on the first-person individual testimony of the worker who performs the tasks required of a given occupation. Unquote. The reviewer makes a connection between Graeber's analysis of categories of work and those of Adam Smith. Since I haven't read either this book or anything by Adam Smith, I can't say if it's valid, but it is interesting.
The evolution of Eugene's anarchist movements from the University of Oregon site Daily Emerald, which says about itself, quote, our mission is to train students, serve the UO community, and run a financially sustainable nonprofit business, unquote. This is a not unsympathetic snapshot. of past anarchist activity and what this reporter could find out about the modern-day anarchist scene in Eugene, which was a hub of activity in the 90s. Quote, Joy did not always identify as an anarchist. In fact, she only recently became involved with it after a series of events caused her to lose faith in the country's current political system. For Joy, the emphasis that social anarchism places on community is what gives her hope outside of a difficult political system. If you can't affect democracy, if you can't vote for a change on the grand scale, then we have to just look more local, she said. Ever since I've done that, I feel more empowered, unquote. Calling it evolution is a misnomer, surely.
Announcing Clarion Book Project from Anonymous. This announces an ongoing and, in the process of expanding, Books to Anarchist Prisoners project out of Bloomington. Anarchist publishers, probably other publishers too, if interested, are invited to participate. Quote, Prison seeks to isolate our friends behind walls both physical and psychological. Separated from loved ones, anarchist prisoners are removed from the daily dialogue and exchange of ideas that give birth to liberatory projects and experiments. Imprisoned anarchists will find very little in prison libraries and network television to keep them informed on outside struggles, and in absence of comrades on the outside mailing in magazines and books, they are left without access to subversive literature of any kind. Unquote.
What's new with LBC, summer 2018, from Little Black Cart. Speaking of anarchist publishers, and yes, they already send books to anarchist prisoners for free, here's the lineup for the summer quarter. Notably, there's a new book of writings by and memorials about Paul Z. Simons, who recently walked on. Other new offers are the Manifesto of the Happily Unemployed and a reprint of The Right to be Greedy.
Agencies, June-July, top picks from Channel Zero. From Agency. In yet another instance of sometimes it's better not to know too much, here is a review of some podcasts by close friends of the producers of those podcasts. So, friends review the products of their friends, and everyone says nice things. Yay!
The Trouble with Student Unions, from Freedom News UK. The included intro to this piece says, quote, A member of the anarchist communist group writes on the limitations of engaging in struggle through long professionalized institutional structures dependent on university funding, unquote. It mostly talks about student unions and it's short. So I guess if you're not up for reading on the poverty of student life, then this is an option? Or just read The Poverty of Student Life for crying out loud. And also unions against revolution. There's a lot of good stuff out there, people. And at the moment, there are comments that are on point for this thread.
Northwest Detention Center encampment continues, hard barricades erected. From Puget Sound anarchists, news about a blockade at the largest immigrant prison on the West Coast, which is in Tacoma. Quote, Every night at 9 p.m. is a rowdy noise demo. On Friday nights at 9:30 is a vigil. The NWDC is run by the GEO Group, a multinational private prison corporation. Their transport buses are parked across the street from the prison inside a chain-link fence. On multiple occasions, people have blocked deportation buses. Last night's vigil turned into an impromptu hard blockade. Fencing was torn down and piled in front of the gate that prisoners are transported in and out of. Cones and signs were placed in the driveway that the guards use. And a hard blockade of pallets, railroad ties, fencing, and signs was erected in the street. If you have experience with blockades and occupations, if you hate the concentration camp and its world, if you don't want imaginary lines called borders, come to Tacoma. The encampment needs your energy. Don't overlook this strategic choke point. Check out at @OccupyICENWDC, all one word, on Twitter for updates from camp, unquote. And a commenter adds, quote, Joey Gibson and Russell Schultz now threatening to show up at camp on Friday night. Call Joey and tell him he's a turd or something, unquote, and provides a phone number.
Two publications about anarchism in Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia, from 325. The two brief publications are Network Underground and Radical Anarchists in the BUR, 2008-2017. Network Underground is the story of increasing repression of anarchists in Russia, including the terrible stories of the torture of several anarchist prisoners. Radical Anarchists in the BUR includes a 43-minute video of insurrection and property destruction, a brief history of such actions in the three areas mentioned, and is definitely the upbeat chapter to follow the fucked-up information in Network Underground. Quote, Anarchist sites covering similar activities have since either been closed or have already become dead. Since 2015, Black Blog, the loudspeaker of anarchist guerrilla, has been silent. Actions tend to be forgotten, reports lost, videos get removed. This is a natural process. Nothing is eternal. But we would still like to recall and refresh the memory of those years. We truly honor the traditions and all the militant actions of the past years made by our comrades. With this video, we want to introduce newcomers to this history and please the old fighters who have not yet retired. Good luck. Don't get caught by cops. Anarchist militant resistance continues, unquote. The stories of torture make me want to think this is sophisticated anti-anarchist propaganda. But really, we should all prepare for torture, whatever the fuck prepare can mean here.
Gaetano Bresci, Tyrannicide and Defender of the People, from CrimeThink. Perhaps we should be happy that CrimeThink is willing to embrace as anarchists someone who was willing to hurt people. But dead people are always easier to hold up as examples. Not to mention that this article makes Bresci more of a martyr and less of a firebrand. Quote, "We remember Bresci not only as an anarchist who killed a tyrant, but also as the one who saved Malatesta's life, as a person who repeatedly risked his own life for the sake of others, and finally made the ultimate sacrifice in order to ensure that there would be consequences for the slaughter and oppression of the poor. The courage and compassion he displayed in tackling the gunman in West Hoboken was the same courage and compassion that drove him to give his life for the sake of equality and freedom, for the cause of anarchy," unquote. Perhaps CrimeThink is reaching out to Christians now.
Meet the Anarchists Making Their Own Medicine, from Motherboard, aka Vice, by Daniel Oberhaus. This thread probably gets the most comments award for the week, although Bolt doesn't always do a body good. This is a very sympathetic article about this project. We've had at least one before, or about a similar one, can't remember the names anymore. The project Four Thieves aims to decentralize medication and get away from Big Pharma, a crowd-pleasing goal if there ever were one. Quote, "In the last decade, Four Thieves has run afoul of the Food and Drug Administration, billionaire pharma executives, doctors, and chemists at some of the United States' most prestigious universities. Indeed, Laufer and his collaborators can't stop pissing off powerful people because Four Thieves is living proof that effective medicines can be developed on a budget outside of institutional channels," unquote. DIY is still around and could not be more different from the 90s.
Taking stock of the Nicaraguan uprising, from CrimeThink. Again, this is what CrimeThink does well: international documented articles about resistance with background context and sometimes personal stories. Quote, "The people of Nicaragua are revolting against Ortega on the grounds that he represents authoritarianism, lack of transparency, the embezzlement of public funds, the co-option of supposedly neutral institutions like the police and medical system, the exploitation of natural resources, the harassment of social movement leaders, and the hijacking of the education system. This is not a centralized movement. All the demands and criticism of Ortega complement each other, but these demands are specific to different themes and regions. For example, Masaya has no student movement, per se, and the students are presenting very different demands than the Campesino movement. There have been some efforts to centralize all the demands into a single common organization, but the present conditions have not allowed for the necessary meetings to occur," unquote.
Greece, State Terrorism, Torture on the Back Streets of Athens, from Act for Freedom Now. Another horrifying story of torture of anarchists, in this case an anarchist immigrant, by state actors, this time on the streets in Athens. Quote, "They beat me for more than 1.5 hours. All the while, they were taking several photos of me getting beaten up, as well as when I was lying semi-conscious on the street. When cops realized that my body had been seriously damaged and I was not able to move, they started to play a game with me, telling me, 'You have 10 seconds to leave from here. If we catch you again, we will kill you.' And two cops moved a little bit ahead of me to try and catch me again. They hit my knees several times with batons to make sure that I cannot escape. When one of them turned to look behind him, with all of the pain that I had, I started running. One of the cops tried to catch me again, but I could escape by running up Tosica and sought help at a nearby house of comrades," unquote.
France, request for release of anarchist Cream, from Act for Freedom Now. Quote, "This person has been held for almost a year and a half, and the release date is set. For February 2019. The hearing took place 9 months after the request was submitted, even though the deadline established by law is 4 months. The prison administration and the prosecutor expressed opposition to his release on the basis of his stubborn silence concerning the events. The judge decided to issue a verdict on July 11th. Apparently, it was not possible to reach a decision with 3 weeks delay, 3 weeks of waiting and hoping. On July 11th, there was only silence from the judge, and on the 12th, we learned that the decision had been postponed to the beginning of next week. These constant setbacks, be they deliberate or due to negligence, wreck the nerves of prisoners and their loved ones. They lead to impotence generated by being trapped in the prison machine," unquote. Update: the judge rejected the release request. I couldn't find an address to write this prisoner. If someone else knows one, perhaps post it on A News.
Who is Cody Wilson, the man behind the 3D printed gun? from CNN Tech, mainstreamier than thou. This topic has been bumped in MSM since Trump responded to a court ruling about it. Wait, I said Trump's name? I just lost some anarchist cred, did you notice? Anyway, aside from various folks freaking out, Oregon and Washington are suing over this, even though they are states with very liberal guns laws. Perhaps it's more about the gun manufacturers not wanting the competition? What is it about guns that brings out the conspiracy thinking? I find this most interesting as a reflection on the breadth of those calling themselves anarchists. It's really not just leftists, post-leftists, and NCAPs, so yay? Quote, Wilson's goal is to make his Austin-based nonprofit, Defense Distributed, a digital hub for do-it-yourself gun making, a sort of Wikipedia of weapons manufacturing. Not only can you visit the site to download blueprints to guns, but users will also be able to upload blueprints for guns of their own design, a feature Wilson hopes will lead to types of guns that haven't existed before, he says. Unquote.
Greece, fighting the TAP, the Trans-Adriatic Pipeline, from Act for Freedom Now. This is a translation of the first section of a Greek brochure. The list of contents are fighting the TAP, some notes on the TAP, from the other side, laughing underneath, what's the purpose of energy, war comes home, and some useful addresses. Quote, the texts published here were written in Italy, where a struggle against this project of power is taking place. The texts speak about the specificities of this project and its direct responsibilities, about the ecological destruction and the militarization of territories, but also about the symbolic value of this project for the economy, the state, and oppression in general. The texts focus on the specific element of the system, but with a constant eye on the wider reality, the whole of domination which it is a part of. These texts intend nothing but the encouragement of everybody, wherever or with how many they may be, to sabotage and attack this project, those who will profit from it, and the existent it will serve.
Notes from Underground, Dostoevsky's Anarchism, from autonomies.org. This is, as the title indicates, an attempt to reclaim the anti-anarchist Dostoevsky for a deeper anarchy than the one he acknowledged. Quote, how can we then suggest to speak of Dostoevsky's anarchism? And yet we dare to do so, navigating our way through the extremes of the underground and the modern social conformity of the many, of the nihilists and decadent aristocrats, of the social reformers and a church oblivious to the kingdom of heaven. Our journey's end is to be found in the many voices of Dostoevsky's world, in a polyphony that cannot be silenced without impoverishing that world. Among these many voices, we find the braying of mules, the tortured crying of children, the virtue of women and friends, the dissonance of idiots, and the enthusiasm of those who have experienced, however fleetingly, the immensity and self-sufficient beauty and goodness of life. What binds all of these disparate voices together, and only this power of force can do so, is love. And it is Dostoevsky's boundless love of life that we will risk to call his anarchism, unquote. This is a long read and will be most fun for those with an interest in literature, including the Bible. Yep, they get Jesus into the mix too.
The Common Ground Between Anarchists and Maoists. From Gods and Radicals by Dr. Bones. Sigh. Honestly, I couldn't even get past the initial references to watching the World Cup. The comments seem appropriately savage from the first one, which reads, quote, I want to throw up. What a nice tale of fringe political summer camp. Pretty cool how you have learned nothing from 100 years of Maoist treachery. Pretty cool how you shrug off the fact that Maoists aspire to something that is only superficially different from Nazism, unquote. To mid-range, quote, the only common ground is the cemetery where the Maoists dig the grave of the anarchists, unquote. To near the end, where Wayne Price gets jumped on for supporting working with Maoists. All in all, the comments on this thread are far more fun than the article, even if Einziger does post too much.
1 year later, Santiago Maldonado Presente, from Anonymous, translated from the bulletin Lo Ove a Negra out of Argentina. On the anniversary of Maldonado's disappearance and death, here's a memorial and an update about bad shit for the Mapuche and activists in Argentina. Quote, recently, we are being witness to a new campaign of lies in which they try to establish the Mapuche as those who fooled and abandoned Santiago, at the same time as they lied to the family. Santiago was not fooled in Cushman. He knew what he was doing and not doing. Those that don't know anything are the killers and their accessories who think that with force and lies they can stop the struggle and the solidarity. For that reason, they publish phone taps made on Sergio Maldonado and on Ariel Garzi, who has already come out to say that those transcriptions are in part false. These phone taps are one more part of the permanent mafioso message of the state, not only to the Mapuche, but to the whole social movement. Like when they planted the dead body of Santiago, they want to sow the example of what can happen to us when we disobey, when we fight for a different reality. Just like on the other side of the wire, it is sought to break apart the groups that tender support to the territorial recuperations, to isolate the communities in conflict, their authorities, spokespersons, and combatants, unquote.
Audio. The Final Straw Radio, Donald Rome, Part 1, author, cartoonist, and anarchist. Quote, Donald is most known for his longtime illustration of the wily, bomb-throwing, firebrand anarchist cartoon character Wildcat. In this episode, Donald talks about his early political trajectory and development from childhood involvement during World War II in a Communist Party front group into anarchism via the Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. Donald talks about the Malatesta Anarchist Club, his artistic development and love of cartooning and engagement with activism to stop corporal punishment in schools in the UK, and ideas about social change and anarchist intervention, unquote. Also, here is more information about Sean Swain. Quote, Sean Swain, long-term anarchist prisoner in Ohio, has come under fire by the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, the ODRC, has increased Sean's security level from 3 to 5B, an increase that has sent him to solitary confinement, led to him being handcuffed during visits, and further removed him from any possibility for parole. Additionally, the ODRC is threatening to put Sean on Interstate Compact, a system that ships subversive prisoners around the country, places heavy restrictions on communication, and interns them in the black hole of the Interstate Compact system. Unquote.
Anarchy Radio, July 31st, 2018. Always an hour. This episode is worth listening to, despite the aggressive project plugs. Jay-Z has a roughly hour-long phone conversation with longtime Fifth Estate editor Peter Werby, and demonstrates what he sounds like when he's talking to someone who is not only a peer, but someone he wants to keep working with. Werby is complimentary graciousness itself, and starts the whole conversation off with talking about how he is depressed and doesn't find much hope in today's world. And Jay-Z modifies his message of knee-jerk anti-hopelessness enough to acknowledge that perhaps there is nothing that will cause the kind of change that we all want. In conversation, Jay-Z doesn't resort to the straw man of nihilist do-nothingism that he will undoubtedly revert to next week. Werby's mine analogy doesn't take into account modern shit job arguments, which involves robots and automation, but perhaps up-to-date metaphors are too much to ask for. Jay-Z quibbles that the PM Press piece in Fifth Estate doesn't mention that PM Press won't distribute his books. Werby informs us that PM Press provided the cover image for the most recent issue of the magazine. He also goes into Freddie Perlman's significance and the output in the 70s of radical publishing projects. There's something telling in this episode, although it's evident in all of them, that Jay-Z thinks that resistance comes out of misery and therefore that more misery must mean more resistance. When, to this listener, it seems like any possible equation is not so linear. Rosinante calls in at the end and brings a nice tone.
Publications. Italy. A new book published by Edizione Montebove from anarija.net. Quote, Domenico Salemme is no professional poet. He's a proletarian and an anarchist from Calabria who chants simple concepts in these verses, mostly addressed to his fellow townspeople in Grisolia. From sneering at the election swindle and its protagonists, to the denunciation of the conditions of misery which the state and capital force on the poorest, from the tragedy of migration to life in prison, words that were often read, leafleted, and handed out at outdoor anarchist talks. Domenico decided to publish the poems because people were always asking for them. Even if they were written in the 80s, they are still totally topical because they talk about problems we still experience today. Unquote.
Anarchist zines and pamphlets published in July 2018 from Sprout Distro, Montreal Counter Info No. 6, Against the Machine Selected Writings, SLAP Squatters of London Action Paper No. 8 and 9, Against Eco-Extremism, Fuck Abuse, Kill Power, We Are Being Doxed, Tips on Avoiding Doxing, Starting an Anarchist Black Cross Group, An Anarchist Report Back and Some Embedded Critiques, Return Fire 5, The Local Kids No. 1, Anathema July 2018, Butterflies, Polyamory and Ideology, a translation of a French text from 2013, The Struggle Against Fascism in D.C., Socialism Will Be Free or... Community Struggle and Political Repression in El Osho Cheat Ion de Flores Magón, Wild and Criminal, Salvo, which is out of Southern California, rarely heard from, A-Tubes, and the Kate Sharpley Library Bulletin for July 2018.
Not Anarchist. Freedom Club Revived, Netflix Primitivists and the Fascist Creep. from Anonymous by Jake Hanrahan. This is aggressively not sympathetic, although it might be subtle enough to suck someone in, at least someone who's not immediately alerted by the cues in the title. Hanrahan identifies some online warriors by categorizing them dismissively as pine trees and tells the story of a couple of those pine trees, one of whom learned enough to get offline and go for walks in the country, tacit approval, and the other who stuck with this imaginary group until it took a turn for the fascist, tacit, why didn't he see this coming? Hanrahan seems like someone who will be attempting to make a name for himself writing about anarchists, so watch out for that.
Topic of the week, skill building. Though Bellamy spends a portion of his introductory essay to Backwoods criticizing insurrectionary anarchism, there exists at least one point of similarity between the anti-civ project he puts forward and the object of his critique, skill building. One of the major problems he observes with civilization is the way it deprives people living within it of the skills to live without it, which in turn alienates us from the world in which we live. Contrasted with this is the concept of autarky, or, quote, the knowledge and practice of providing one's subsistence, again, food, water, shelter, fuel, and medicine, for and by oneself, in an unalienated relationship with one's habitat and in voluntary cooperation with others with whom one freely associates, end quote, which would entail, quote, a profound reskilling, a regaining of the venerable and valuable skills of foraging, tending, tracking, hunting, fishing, preserving, woodworking, herbalism, and others, end quote. Compare this with the veritable laundry list of skills to learn and things to do put forward by the insurrectionary manual How to Start a Fire. Get property, pirate radio, build stoves, learn to cook, learn languages, get arms, open street carts and businesses, occupy buildings, set up cafes, diners, restaurants, pizza shops, bookstores, permaculture, mend wounds, lathes, giant pots, orchards, build friendships, acquire film equipment and make documentaries, talk to old comrades, learn martial arts, read, travel, learn from each other, write newspapers, weather the hard times, loot, hold regional gatherings, write internal journals, refine the art of sabotage, distribute counterinformation, offset presses, raw materials and the means of production, 3,000 camping bowls, survival packs, organic seeds, share thoughts, feelings, and practice, learn history and learn from history, build tables, make art, go to the woods, summer retreats, dance parties, get cars, steal money, move closer to each other, start uncontrollable riots. All of this and more is to be acquired and used in the fight against our collapsing civilization and for creating, quote, a life actually worth living, end quote. For them, our lack of skills is framed as disarming us weapons we need to fight and create other ways of living. While Bellamy's proposal for desertion and Anonymous's proposal for getting organized in a global conflict are at odds in some ways, they both point to a lack of skills as an impediment to anarchist projects and their acquisition as crucial to creating an alternative. Do you think that the concept of acquiring skills is important as anarchist praxis? If so, why? And what kind of skills? If not, why?
To be blunt, of course acquiring skills is important as an anarchist praxis, but I think more broadly, acquiring skills is important as a general practice of being a well-rounded person. I sort of hate the image of anarchism as some sort of robotic act of, I am doing this thing because it is an anarchist thing to do, rather than sort of saying that, you know, my general goal is to be a well-rounded person so that I can be a better anarchist.
Are there particular skills you think are important for acquiring?
Well, skills is such a big category that it's sort of hard to to say.
How do you feel about the two projects that have been put forward in the examples given?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, the way that I would put it, and maybe to counterpose a third example of this, is that there's a set of skills that are, by and large, talked about as the ones that you learn during a Skillshare, you know, in the traditional book fair or anarchist gathering model. And the other way to put it is there's a large array of what I would call like anarchist half-ass skills. And I think I would like to differentiate between that, the sort of half-ass skills, most of which you listed in the second set. And what's actually skills. I mean, I don't want to use myself as an example here because I feel like I've done this too many times, but you know, learn martial arts is either a lifelong project or it's some version of half-assery, at least how I mostly experience it. You know, write newspapers is either something you do once or twice and you're done with it because, you know, it's not for you, or it's a lifelong project. You know, learn from each other. Well, hopefully you're not an asshole and you're learning from the people around you all the time. So in that gaze, you know, the second big long list is basically a whole set of things that are either life projects that you gain sets of skills to do them in a meaningful way, or they're half-assery. I mean, you know, obviously with Little Black Cart, you know, the practice and the skill of learning how to print books was both something that we did quickly, and it's a lifelong project.
Sure. And what would you speak to the first set of skills then that Bellamy puts forward?
Well, I think Bellamy, you know, if anything, his project is a lot more constrained, a lot more, it's a smaller project because he's basically saying, you know, figure out Maslow's problem and do it in rural New York. And so in that sense, it's an easier conversation to have because you're just mapping what it is that you're trying to do against what it is that Bellamy is trying to do. Whereas obviously the second set of the second list is much more aspirational. It's also worth mentioning this How to Start a Fire project comes out of what I'll call the new school of insurrectionary anarchism coming out of the U.S. that really starts to blur together with basically the ideas of the Invisible Committee, and it's much more heading in the direction of how do we get organized together than it is towards how do we assist people in our community to self-actualize insurrectionary attacks against the existing order. And I think that those models are worth mentioning in this context because this, you know, list of skills here is much more about how do we as a group of formerly countercultural quote-unquote anarchists come together and build something together. And, you know, it really means listing a whole bunch of half-assed skills and then deciding which are the ones we're actually going to do.
Do you think there are people out there who are listening seriously to that and trying to make them less half-assed?
Well, I'm sure almost anybody who is heading down this road says that the proof is sort of in the pudding. I guess to be unfriendly, I would say that there perhaps are a couple different projects that are doing some rural land living, and you know, in my opinion, their success along the measure of this list of skills is whether or not they grow beyond just being a couple form or two living together. You know, because to do something intentional, to do something as big as this list of skills, it takes a lot. And most people, when they go back to land, they stop at the level of, you know, basically creating a nuclear home in the country.
And what would you say are some important skills that you have learned over the course of being an anarchist?
Well, I mean, it is worth saying that when I was in my mid to late 20s, Basically, the only skill I had was a bunch of half-assed skills and the capacity to read.
Sure.
And, you know, and enough of a college education to fake it. You know, and so in my late 20s, I sounded an awful lot like this second list, you know, that we need to have skills and do all these things. And basically what the difference is between then and now is that I picked, specifically I picked a career and the set of skills that were around a career. And since then, and since I basically got started thinking along these in this direction, you know, I am better at a couple of different things in this list, but mostly not. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want me to help you if you're injured. I don't know how to grow an orchard. you know, my sure. martial arts knowledge is half-assed.
Sure.
And instead, I chose to do publishing things, which is about half of this list. And I do those for real as full life projects. Mm-hmm. But so I have skills that accompany that. But it's not, you know, back to the land skills. It's not, you know, any skills I have like that. I learned as a very young person, basically in a Boy Scouts sort of manner. Mm-hmm. Enough to get the merit badge, but not enough to change my life, that's for sure. How about yourself?
Yeah, I would say I'm in the complicated position of being basically a picture that you described of, I have a college degree, I have learned some things more or less well, but I haven't chosen a thing that I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. And I would say I'm very sympathetic. What you said earlier speaks to me as far as I like acquiring skills because I like being a rounded individual and I like pursuing things that I find interesting or growing as a person. Right now what that looks like is putting some of the skills that I have had that look more half-assed to look a little less half-assed with my distro project. I've been doing a lot more graphics design and layout work that I had some of that before. I learned some of that when I was interning at LBC, and now I'm furthering that. But yeah, I would say that I'm still growing and seeing where that leads me.
You know, oftentimes these things are talked about as if, you know, we're just on the cusp of living, you know, by tooth and claw. But but as we know, most likely civilization is going to continue for the rest of our life. Like, I'm not saying that civilization will not collapse at some point, but I think it's a pretty good chance it won't be during my lifetime, which means that we're having a sort of theoretical conversation. And so, you know, we're both talking about skills that are basically publishing skills, because in terms of our anarchist practice and in terms of the things that we really care about doing with our time, this is what we've chosen to do. Mm-hmm. But that's a really different, like the way in which this conversation and both, you know, both sides of the particular tension you're drawing here. I think both of those sides are also not living tooth or claw. You know, like, right. When I think about, you know, because I did visit Bellamy's land project, and he, you know, he does a list here: foraging, tending, tracking, hunting, fishing, preserving, woodworking, herbalism. Only about two of those apply to his living situation. So in other words, he's not, I mean, like, he is still talking in a more or less hypothetical manner also, which is totally fine. And, you know, obviously, my family has land in Michigan, and when I think about what would happen if I lived there and civilization collapsed, mostly we would do okay. But the heating there is a pellet stove, which basically wouldn't survive the collapse of civilization because someone would have to make those pellets, right? In other words, it's not a wood stove, although there is a wood stove in the kitchen. And, you know, the rest of the heating is with oil, which, of course, also wouldn't last. You know, so it's like when you get down to like brass tacks of, like, if society totally transformed tomorrow, I'd be SOL. And that, to me, is actually the lesson of this conversation. Mostly, I'm not that worried about the lack of skills that I have, because I either would pick them up or I would die. no judgment here.
Sure. No, and I that's part of the intention with asking this question that I had was asking, I mean, both of these projects ask for people to develop skills and put a lot of importance in that, but they also are positing that there is a future in which some of or these skills are going to be important, or there's some line being drawn that, like, someday you're going to need to know how to grow your own food, or you need to get geared up for the global conflict that we're a part of, you've already said this, but I would agree, like, I'm not placing my bets on that happening in my lifetime, or at least anytime soon.
It's a super macho vision of how the world is structured and organized.
Yeah.
I mean, what's funny is, you know, things like build tables. First of all, how many tables do I need in my life? And if IKEA stops tomorrow and I'm confronted with the problem of tables, I just I feel like at least for the duration of my life, I'm going to be all right. But, you know, it's true. My children perhaps will be tableless.
I mean, it's possible. Although, I don't know. I mean, folding tables, plastic chairs, I mean, these last a long time. Probably.
Well, thank you very much for having this conversation with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Taste me how to duck. Taste me how to duck. Taste me how to duck. Taste me how to duck.
All my bitches love me. All my bitches love me. All my bitches love me. You ain't fucking with my duck.
The name is Young. For them dudes who don't know me, I know I'm from the west, but I can teach you how to duckie. I step up in the club and all these bitches bug me. Young and nigga dancing, none of them know me. I hear the squad screaming like, hey.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lino Mabel. The What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackheart.com. And for news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, go to anarchistnews.org.
All my bitches love me. All my bitches love me. All my bitches love me. You ain't fucking with my duggie.
Taste me how to duck. Taste me how to duck. Taste me how to duck. Taste me how to duck.
All my bitches love me. All my bitches love me. All my bitches love me. You ain't fucking with my duggie.
Hey, back of the party. I don't really like the boogie. I'm just trying to give Ben and me the thick red bone. She do her duggie and all them.